Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back. So, let's talk League of Ireland. We had Cork Dundalk on Friday night, and then another round of fixtures last night, which included Dundalk beating St Pat's 5-0 and Cork going down 3-0 away to Shamrock Rovers. So, that league table looks very healthy from a neutral point of view. It's Dundalk and Cork after 14 games apiece, locked on 31 points apiece. We'll get into all that in a moment, Dan, but you know me. Anywhere there's controversy, that's where I want to start.
Yeah.
So Kevin Teely, we're playing at loan on Sports Illustrated have picked up this interview.
Yeah, they don't cover the League of Ireland First Division much normally either.
This is where I first saw this, was on Sports Illustrated. Well, obviously it's an off the ball thing as well, but Sports Illustrated picking it up was...
It's on off the ball first, Joe. You saw it on off the ball first.
Kevin Teely at the loan town. Look, it's a harmless enough story, and we'll get into the big stuff in a moment, but people may not have heard the Kevin Teely manager. So First Division and Kevin Teely, who were the home side, were leading 1-0 with 23 minutes to go. And then the referee, Andrew Mullally, said there wasn't enough light to complete the fixture. And so Jamie Moore was there and spoke to the Kevin Teely boss, Eddie Gormley, and he wanted answers.
Eddie, what's your understanding of why the game's being called off tonight?
The lights weren't working.
Any idea why?
Not an electrician, Jamie. Don't know.
We've heard that it's possible that the generator wasn't working.
Like I said, I'm focused on the game. I don't know what's going on. All I'm told is the lights aren't working, so the game was called. So that's it. I mean, the game itself, we might as well talk about that, because I was more interested in what was going on the pitch.
If we can stick on the lights for now, because it's clearly another negative news story involving the league and the First Division club. The lights did come on in the second half and went off again.
Listen, Jamie, I'm a football manager. I'm not an electrician. You want to talk about the lights? Go and talk to somebody that knows something about generators. I don't know anything about generators. Speak to me about the match. I'm not speaking to you about the lights. They've nothing to do with me.
So I asked to speak to somebody from Kevin Teely about the lights, and I was told that you were the person I was going to speak to about it, so I'm entitled to ask
the question. Hang on, Jamie. You can ask me about the match, because I'm here and in football capacity. Not about a set of lights that I know nothing about. I'm not an electrician. Don't ask me to change a bulb, because I wouldn't be too clever at changing a bulb either. If you want to talk about the football match, I'll talk about the football match. I don't know why generators blow or don't blow. Nothing to do with me.
Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting it is, but as the Cabin Teely manager on the night, are you disappointed that the game has been abandoned because of the lights?
I'm disappointed. We're 1-0 up. We're 1-0 up, and the game gets abandoned. In an ideal world, the lights stay on, we finish the game out, and hopefully we see it out. And that's everybody's happy. But it wasn't to be.
It looked to me as if the game could have continued. It wasn't dark enough, in my opinion, for the game to be called off. The players seemed to feel the same. I think it was 20 minutes left when the ref called it.
Everybody's disappointed, because we want the game to continue. By the looks of it, totally that long, because they don't want to obviously have to travel back up. But the man in the middle makes the decision. So he felt, the forward official said to me, there's 23 minutes plus to go. We feel like we can't get to the end. If something happens to a player, you're looking at insurance reasons. I understand that. So for the safety of the players, they call it off. You can't really argue with that. Do I agree with him? Unfortunately, I do, because at the end of the day, it's about the player's safety.
And Eddie, just one more on the lights. One more on the lights, Eddie. Can we
have
one more?
He's not an electrician.
No.
It's not that clear.
So look, these things happen. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, it's First Division. Just there was an instant draw to Finn Harps to start the season too. So it's not great. The old division doesn't get much coverage, and often when it does, it's stuff going wrong.
Well, it's in Sports Illustrated now, Dan. So you know,
take
that Premier Division.
Yeah.
And I hope the next person that interviewed Eddie said, geez, Eddie, what about the lights?
I know. Maybe if he'd been the away manager, his perspective might be different, you know? That's the thing. He's in an awkward situation, you know, as the home manager who probably isn't going to vent at his own club.
Oh, Benzema could be in. I don't know what's happened here. He's chased a ball into an empty net.
We're 23 seconds into the half, so definitely not good.
Ulrich is looking around. Something bad has happened. I wonder if a back pass has gone under his foot, because I looked up and Ulrich was on the ground and Benzema was chasing after a ball which he tapped into an empty net. 46 minutes on the clock. Real Madrid 2-1 on the night. Now 4-2 in aggregate. Suddenly Bayern Munich's chances of going through have diminished dramatically. I'm looking forward to this replay. It's Bayern on the ball. It's a blind back pass. Oh, which Ulrich should deal with.
It's Tolisso back pass, but...
Ulrich comes out and Ulrich thinks about picking this up, but then realises, oh, it's my player who's done it, and then goes to kick it and then slips.
That's a catastrophic goal.
I wonder, should he have gone with his hands? Because it wasn't... Oh, well, it was a deliberate back pass.
Now, if that was scored in the first division of the League of Ireland, Sports Illustrated wouldn't cover it.
Well, no, it's...
That's a horrendous mistake for a Champions League semi-final.
And we're talking about it.
I know.
What do you want from me?
We would mock it if it happened at a lower level.
I am mocking it. It's horrendous.
No, you were being a bit kind. You were like, maybe he thinks it's him. If you see that happen in a park, you would go after... You would like, this is embarrassing. You're trying to like rationalise it to try and defend this high-profile goalkeeper who's just completely forgotten what to do. Jeez, in this stage.
Defensive much, are you?
Well, I'm just saying. No, I'm just, you know. Yeah, I thought it was a very kind description of what was a horrendous gaffe.
I literally said after Eddie Gormley's interview, these things happen.
Oh, I know. I'm not going back to that. I'm just... I made a convoluted point.
You're one of the angry League of Ireland types. That's your problem.
No.
If I don't go and watch it, you complain. If I go and watch it, you tell me that you were here first.
If I was the angry League of Ireland type, Joe, I would have given up on you a long time ago. But I keep trying, you know.
I keep trying. I go and see it. You say, what are you doing here? You weren't here before.
No. I think you've encountered that elsewhere, but not for me.
It is a dreadful mistake.
Shocker. Well, look, at half time, you have your team talk, and here we go, we're back in this tie.
Yeah, to explain for the radio listeners, one of the reasons Ulrich panics is the ball is played back blind, and actually, it's sort of a 60-40 race between Benzema and the keeper. It's not like he doesn't have that much time to think about it. He's trying to get there before Benzema and almost realises last minute, oh, I can't actually touch it with my hands.
What he needed to do was just like throw a foot at it, but even that would have been...
Oh, it's
fraught with risk. It's just...
By the time he realises he has to kick his foot at it, he can't change onto his left foot. He should kick the ball with his left foot, but he realises too late and then he swings his right. It's really ugly.
It's a bit casual from Tolisso because Benzema, in fairness to him, anticipates the pass. He anticipates the move. But it's still... You know, from a management perspective, like, that's it.
And they've cut to your pen, looking disgusted.
There's no extra time now anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah, that could be that, really. I mean, Bayern are going to have to do something special. So 2-1 on the night, 4-2 on aggregate. So back to Cork City Dundalk on Friday before we get to last night's games. Now, this was brilliant because there were nearly 7,000 at Turner's Cross. You can give me the truth here. Stephen Kenny and John Caulfield, not always bosom buddies, not always saying nice things about each other in the press. So Stephen Kenny criticised the lack of good football. He said, I thought we had progressed as top teams, as in both of them, and we should be doing more. Obviously, Cork went very, very direct. From our point of view, we should be able to get it down and play more than we did. But it's very hard when you're under pressure and the pitch is as poor as it is. And he says they created lots of chances and didn't take them and got punished. John Caulfield, we felt this year Dundalk have changed their style. They don't have the movement of Kildare from McMillan. Patrick Hoban, fantastic player. Great in the air. Great hold-up play. Maybe if Stephen Luck is the last 20 minutes of the match, they certainly played 20 or 30 balls direct from the halfway line straight in on top of them. If people want to criticise me, that's fine. I'm here to do a job. We've been free-flowing for the past few years. So where's the truth in all this?
Well, there's a bit of truth in everything there. Certainly it wasn't a good game. I don't know, this isn't a propaganda machine. Like, if it's called a bad game, it was disappointing. Now, they've played each other a lot, these teams, and there's a real edge in the game, and it's competitive. And in fairness, Cork have pretty much had the edge in the last couple of years, and they closed on the lockdown. Don't give them the space. Maybe the other teams do, or the dog maybe don't manufacture that space well enough.
Is there a feeling that...
Make for a great spectacle.
Is there a feeling that... And when I say, by the way, this was really good, I just mean it's great to see 7,000 at Turner's Cross and, the whole occasion is good. But is there a feeling...
Has been good generally.
Is there a feeling that Cork largely have Dundalk's number when they come head-to-head?
They've certainly had Turner's Cross. I mean, Dundalk did beat them at Oriel Park earlier this season, but in the games at Turner's Cross the last couple of years, they've sort of fallen along a similar enough pattern. You know, where Cork have won them, basically, or the Dock had a late draw last year, but they haven't played at all well at Turner's Cross. And I mean, it's strange talking about this game now on Friday, because then you have last night's results.
Well, any other point you want to make?
But this is the thing, you know, that Dundalk last night scored 5 goals against St Pat's and suddenly looked fantastic again. And you watch players like Michael Duffy, who's probably been one of the most exciting players in the league this year. And yet on Friday, okay, he was stifled.
Yeah.
And you know, Robbie Benson getting forward, Jamie McGrath getting forward. You know, Cork, in fairness, didn't give them any real space. And it was like it was a game of very few chances. The irony is then that last night, Cork were pretty poor defensively and conceded three against the Shamrock Rovers away. So I don't know. You have this mad fixture schedule at the moment, which is a real talking point in the league. And what you have is a real serious round of fixtures on Friday. And yet, like 3 days later, the results have effectively been cancelled out by events elsewhere.
So you make the point on Twitter, actually, that of Shamrock Rovers and Cork, so two of the big teams, big support bases, passionate support bases, that this was their second meeting this season and both on Monday night.
Yeah.
So obviously, just from a just an obvious point, you're going to diminish the amount of people going to watch the games, and it's just not ideal as well. 2-3 days after a round of fixtures on Friday,
and there are reasons for that. And you know, the 10-team league, 36 games, but ultimately, you know, some clubs want a shorter season, and it's affecting everyone, and it's the biggest talking point around the league at the moment under a number of headings. There's players picking up little injuries. You know, there's Pats coming up, I think, 5 games in 13 days. Like
that hurts.
And I mean, the crowds this year have been very good. Like on Friday, you know, we're not talking about the first week of the season. Granted, Cork were playing Dundalk, but I think the 5 games, you know, 15,000 or so between them.
Yeah.
And that includes one of them being Bray, who had a dreadful attendance. Last night, I think it was half of that.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious that it's affecting people, but it's also going to affect the flow of the league as well, because some teams have better squads than others, naturally. And I think Cork and Dundalk still have a fair chance of pulling away because they're more resilient in terms of being able to deal with injuries, where some of the other clubs and the more part-time clubs, I mean, this schedule is killing them.
But there's
been some good football played, but the Cork and Dock games aren't necessarily delivering it. But I think Stephen Kenny's team could have done more in that game as well. You can't just...
To be fair, he said that.
I think they needed to do more. I think he acknowledged
we should be able to get it down and play more. He did say it's very hard when you're under pressure, and also the pitch is as poor as it is. But under pressure is a part of that story. It's worth touching on where Rovers are, because they hadn't won in 6, and there was an air of doom and gloom about things. Here's Stephen Bradley speaking after a 3-0 win against Cork.
Just on the goalkeeper, Kevin Horgan, he did make a mistake in the Dundalk match. He did take a lot of stick online. A lot of, you know, pundits and stuff were having a go at you for picking him, having a go at you for signing him. You guys have signed Alan Manis. He's coming back in July. But performances like that, Kevin Horgan will still be wanting to fight to be your number one.
100%. We knew that before we signed Alan. We explained to Kevin, yeah, what we're doing, no problem. His answer was he has to come and take me jersey, and that's the attitude of the kid. And when he plays like that, I thought he was unbelievable.
Brings you on now nicely to another Dublin derby against St Pat's on Friday.
Yeah, we go there full of confidence, unbeaten in 3. We're playing well, and we go there ready to go.
And just finally, you mentioned about the pot shots, Stephen, and people have been taking pot shots at you over the last month. The first win of since I think March 30th. How were you? I know the Bowes game was, you know, last minute drama. Then there was 2 more defeats, and then the draw against Limerick. How were you in that period when you knew that people were having a go at you, and you know some of the fans weren't overly happy as well?
No, look, the fans have a right to be frustrated or angry at a certain point in time. We lost 2 games and it just happened in a short space of time, and games we should win. So I understand the frustration. In terms of outside, I'm manager of the biggest club in the country. I'm going to get criticised. I've no problem with that whatsoever.
And when the fans do have a go, you know, they were here, 1,900 people here tonight showing their support again. They've stuck with you. You know, clearly this result tonight will give everybody a big boost, including you. But, you know, at times like that, it's your first job as a senior manager. Was it a hard period for you when you knew that the fans weren't happy, and maybe when the result went up on Twitter, there was a few of them having a go and wanting you out, basically, when the club have kept you and you've just gone and beaten the champions?
Yeah, I've said from day one, we've got a plan here. Nothing's changing. We don't panic when we lose a game. We don't panic when we win a game. We know we're a good side. We had a bad two games. 5 days, we had a bad 5 days. And I get the frustration at times. Well, we've got to understand what we're building here in terms of a team and a club. And I've got good people around me, staff, and the board have been different class. They understand what we're doing. They see what we're doing. We're not a million miles off. We just need to keep our heads down and keep working hard.
Yeah, I mean, they needed that win last night. I mean, you know, I suppose he acknowledges there it's the biggest club in the country, so he can't be surprised when you go with it, you know, six games without a win, and there's grief that comes with it, and there was grief that came with it. But in a strange way, you know, you watched them last night and they're really good, and you're thinking, God, how can they be that far off the pace already? Because they've got good players. I mean, Graham Burke, just for people who maybe aren't, you know, following the league every week, I mean, Graham Burke was at Villa as a kid. I mean, seek out these guys, you know, his goals. It's like he's got his own goal of the season competition, replacing Patrick McElhenney. Stunning goal last night. And there's a young kid in midfield called Aaron Bulger. He's 18 years old. He's doing his leaving cert this year. I think, you know, he's one of the few people who'll probably be shorter than Wes Hoolihan. But he's a midfielder who can play, he can pass, he can tackle. You know, he was up against three senior pros last night. You know, league winners were Cork, and he actually, he bossed them in the game.
Has he been a first teamer over the
last season? He was involved last year. He was with the Irish under-17s in the European Championships last year. He's with the Irish under-8 setup at the moment too, but he's with Rovers. He's with Rovers and doing his leaving cert through Ashfield College, just sort of a deal that Rovers have with them, a private secondary school. So he's training full-time in the morning,
right,
doing his studying in the afternoons. This guy is definitely going to be a player if he just you know, keeps on an upward curve. And it's a name I'm pretty sure we'll be talking about in the future, on in this segment and other ones, I'd say.
Oh, well, good. 18-year-old Aaron Bulger. With the clock against us, is there a consensus over who's going to win the league this year?
No, it's going to be Dundalk or Cork. I don't think there's any...
Well, I knew that
Well, yeah, I mean, Waterford are having a great year. It's strange. I think Dundalk have probably played better and have been the better side this year, yet Cork are level with them on points, you know, so you can read something into that. You know, Cork certainly are still struggling to find their way a bit. You would have thought Dundalk had it clicked, and then they lose in Cork last Friday. So I think it's going to go pretty tight all the way. It's they're going to go at it again. You'd like to see someone else come into it. I just feel with these fixtures that their squads will probably carry them through ahead of the rest.
Okay. Football show is on the way. 58 minutes in the clock. It's 2-1 to Madrid in the night. 4-2 on aggregate. Ronaldo missed an open goal volley from about 6 yards out there. Couldn't believe it. But Madrid not in bad shape. Football show on the way.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.